justify Bnei Yisrael Averis by saying that perhaps they did Averis out of ignorance. They didn't do them in spite. They weren't familiar. They didn't know the laws. And nonetheless, they did an Avera, but not so much in spite. Nonetheless, we learned that the people did Averis in a very determined way, even though they knew the halachas. They refused to follow in the path of Hashem. So for these three reasons that the Mefarshim explain, they were punished doubly, and that's an explanation why the parak begins, Nachmu Nachmu Ami, a double consolation. If there's double punishment, then it's only appropriate for there to be double consolation as well. Okay. We continue now in Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis says, Dabru Alev Yushalayim. So, here is a Navi, and he's calling out to Bnei Yisrael and Golas. Now, we're all more familiar with, in Parsha Shemois, the circumstance when the Jews were working in Egypt. So when Moshe Rabbeinu was sent by Hashem to gather the people and tell them the Gula is on the way, so what's Moshe Rabbeinu's response? The people aren't going to believe me. I'm going to call out to them, no one is listening. Everyone is too busy, enslaved, and working for power. Over here is a similar circumstance. The Navi is dismayed because he wants to call out that there's Gula on the way, but there's no one to talk to. So therefore the Pasuk says, Dabru, call out, Alev Yerushalayim, to the city, to the heart of Yerushalayim, V'kirei Leha, even if there's no people, get out and call out, whether there are listeners or no listeners, whether there's a nation that's gathered awaiting the Gula, or there isn't a nation awaiting the Gula, K'iroi Leha, call out to her. Ki mala tzva, because the time has come and she's full. Ki nirtza avayna, her sins and averas have been appeased and forgiven. Ki lacha miyad Hashem kiflayim. Here's another example of that word kiflayim, symbolizing the doubleness. Now, really, we can even view the Geula with a certain kiflayim as well. Because Hashem says, I will redeem the people under two situations. There are two possible times for Geula. Is anyone familiar with the two times that we have for possible Geula? Well, one is if the people repent and do tshuva. So then they can merit the Geula. The second circumstance represents even if the people don't do tshuva and they don't repent. Nonetheless, Hashem guarantees that there is a time and the end to Golos. So there are two ways of getting out of Golos. One is up to us and one is up to the calendar. One is in our control and one is not. So the Pasuk says that her averis have already been atoned for. How can the averis be atoned for? Well, one way is through tshuva. A second way is through suffering. Enough suffering has gone on over time that the sins have been forgiven. There's a pasuk in Hosea that suggests that Hashem says that the Bnei Yisrael have sinned to me so severely, it uses this frightful expression, Loi Ami, you are no longer my nation. That's why when Hashem gathers the people in, Nachmu, Nachmu Ami, to say the Geula is on the way, so the pasuk says, Nachmu, Nachmu Ami. Yes, even in Golos, Hashem refers to them in this daring expression of Ami, my nation. Again, Pasuk Gimel continues. Perek Mem. in Yeshaya. So we're speaking now with the Navi's calling out to them that Gula is on the way. Does he have an audience? He has no audience. The people are very far removed from being redeemed. It doesn't dawn on them. Moshe Rabbeinu in Egypt had the same situation. The Bnei Yisrael did not consider that Gula was on the way. The only way that they knew the Gula was on the way because they had a Masorah of certain words being used, right? Pakod Pakadati. Now that was in the times of Mitzrayim. Pasuk Gimel continues, Ko Kare Bamidbar. The voice of the Navi is calling out in the desert. There's nobody that's being attentive to the words of the Navi that are suggesting Gula. Panu Derech Hashem. Clear away a path so Hashem can return to his people. Yashu Barava Mesila Lelekeinu. Make the path straight, a straight road, so Hashem can return to his people. Now, this voice of Hashem is heard which is this voice of Kol Kare Bamidbar? Isn't this a hint to a Kol Bamidbar as to Matan Torah and Har Sinai?
Excuse me for one moment.
When describing Matan Torah and Har Sinai, the Pasuk says, "V'chol am royim es hakolos v'esalapidim v'eskel hashofar." Okay, the whole nation, they saw the voice, and they saw the flames, and the sound of the shofar, and the mountain was smoking. V'yar ha'am v'yanu v'yamdu me'rochah, and they stood at a distance. Now, one of the expressions used was with regarding the sound of the shofar by Har Sinai is Lo Yasa. Yesterday, I heard an explanation from Rabbi Fivel Cohn, Shlita, on Ocean Avenue. So he explained that Lo Yasa means that the sound of that Matan Torah never stopped, never ever stopped. It is even in existence today. Today we were familiar that everybody, all the neshamas of Bnei Yisrael, were present by Har Sinai. And they all heard the sounds. And those sounds are all within us. And they help call us to tshuva, to do proper repentance. So that's an awakening call within each and every one of us, is that those sounds and those voices that we heard at Har Sinai, they live on within us. Okay, let's continue now with Pasuk Dalet. Kol Geh Yinaseh. Every valley is to be raised. V'chol har, and every mountain, v'giva, and peak, yishpal, is going to be flattened. V'haya, ha'ekai v'misha, v'achasayim l'beka. All the high points are going to become level plains, and all the low points are going to be raised. Now this is representing of our traveling through this world, Olam Hazeh. We know that everyone has their own internal struggles. Everyone knows their own issues with which they struggle. And they seem to be insurmountable. Well, that's because we are living today in the world that we live in. And the world as it is, Hashem made it, that it looks very attractive and very luring and tempting. However, at the time of the Geula, all those things are going to go away, and there's going to be a very clear vision of Hashem and following His laws. And there will, like, let's say, for example, we lived in a world where everybody will follow the Torah and the mitzvahs. Well, they were rich, they lived pleasant, happy lives, and all the people that didn't follow the Torah, well, their lives were, you know, fraught with illness and danger and difficulties. Would there be a test? There would be no test. Everybody would go ahead and follow the words of Hashem, because it's clear as day. So too, in the time of Geula. In the time of Geula, Hashem and His commandments will be as clear as day. There will not be any tests, any temptations. Clearly, everyone needs to follow in the ways of Hashem. So the Pasuk is referring to that time. So at that time, there's no more hills, no more insurmountable tests. The path is clear, easy, straight, without any cloudiness, any grayness. We clearly see how to follow in the ways of Hashem. Pasuk Hey, the Nigla Kavod Hashem, and the honor of Hashem will be revealed, Ro Kobasa Yachta, and all mankind will see together, Kipi Hashem Diber. Everyone will see together the words of Hashem. A Jew, a Goy, everybody together will see, because Hashem will reveal Himself, and then, as we say, the tests of this world will be no more, because it will be as clear as day that one follows the word of Hashem who created all. Kol Omer Kra, Pasuk Vav. Kol Omer, Kra, the voice calls out, Va'omar, Mo Ekra, what should I call out? What should I say? Kol Abasa, all mankind, is meaningless to Hashem. Chotzer, it is as withered grass. V'chol Chasto, and all the goodness that man can do. Kitzitz hasada, it's like the growth of a field. Can man do anything for Hashem? No. When man does something good, who does he do something good for? Himself. Hashem doesn't need our goodness. We need our own goodness. It's Hashem that's affording us an opportunity to improve ourselves.
Who's the voice speaking to at the beginning of Pesach?
I'm sorry?
Who's the voice speaking to? It says, call him or call.
It's the voice of the Navi. He's speaking to Bnei Yisrael at the point of the Geula. So he's speaking to the people. He's saying at the point of Geula, worship, serving Hashem will be as clear as day. There will not even be another option.
People, it's not the call of Hashem, it's the call of the Navi.
The call, I think that's the call of the Navi.
And then he's reading and said, what should I call? He's like,
right, because Hashem tells him to say his Nevuah. And he has a problem that the people at this point are involved, and like in Egypt, and they're not ready to listen to him. So he calls out to them, and he's explaining to them that the good that you do in your lives, sure, they're meaningful to Hashem, because Hashem wants us to do the right thing for our own benefit, not for Hashem's benefit. Yavesh Chatzir Nava, Okay, dried, withered grass. Tzitz. Kiruach Hashem Nashva. It is the spirit of Hashem blowing on the person to give him his energy to do what he's doing. Achein Chatzir Ha'am. So, when man does his activities during the day, he is doing them being empowered by Hashem. Man by himself, with his flesh and blood, is not really capable of doing things on his own, right? Everything that happens in this world, from an animal that moves, from a person that moves, it's all through Hashem giving him those abilities. It's remarkable how Hashem even gives mankind their abilities to do against what he commands them to do. Let's say somebody is tempted and he does whatever aveir. So who gives him the ability to do that aveir? Hashem is giving him the life and the ability to do even an aveir. So we are all empowered by Hashem. Al har gavoya alilach. On a high mountain, go up and call out to the people. So where the Navi is getting up and he's announcing the Geula from a high mountain. Harimi b'kayach, kaylech. Call out with your voice with strength. Mivaseres Yerushalayim. Report the good news to Yerushalayim. Redemption is on the way. Harimi. Al tira'i, fear not. Imri la'ara Yehuda. Go and call out to the cities of Yehuda. Hine Elokecha. Behold, Hashem, your Hashem, is here to redeem you. So this is the message that the Navi is calling out to the people. That Hashem is here, and He's here to redeem you. Again, the attempt to gain the attention and the audience from the people. Let's see one more pasuk. Hine Hashem Elokim b'chazak, with strength yavo. He will come with strength. Uzroo, and with his arm, moshlolo, he will rule, and with his strength, he will redeem you from the galus. Let us not consider for a moment that we are too far gone. Galus is too intense. We're beyond redemption. Why? Because we discussed previously, there are two ideas behind the redemption and the Geula. One is within us. If we repent, we do tshuva, we merit the coming of the Geula. But yet there's a second idea, second possibility of Geula. Even if we don't marry the redemption, nonetheless, after a certain point in time, redemption will come, no matter where we hold, no matter where we stand. Scharo ito, his reward is within him, within those who are able to cling to Hashem, ufulaso lafanam, and those who put in their efforts will be before him. Now, what is the relationship as Hashem gathers in His people from Golus? So the pasuk continues, Karoya Edra, like a shepherd with his sheep. Now we know all those who were chosen to lead the Bnei Yisrael were shepherds. From David Amach, to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Yaakov Avinu, all our leaders, all or many of our leaders begin as shepherds. And what does that mean? Hashem is introducing, making sure that the leader is compassionate, even on the animals, even on the sheep, as a level to reach up to the point where he will care for the people. So when we, a symbol of a shepherd, and sheep is representative of the tenderness of which the leader rules over the people, and in this pasuk, representing Hashem's ingathering of the Jews and their goats to the Geula. Keroa Edro, as a shepherd with his flock, Yira, Bizroa Yikabetz, he gathers them in with his arm, Tloim, the sheep, Ubecheko, and in his bosom, Yisa, Olos Yenahel, and he will carry them in. Mi Modad, who could measure B'sha'olu Mayim, the water, the vast gatherings of water, rivers, oceans, lakes, the amount of water that's contained within these bodies of water is immeasurable. So the Pasuk now is describing the greatness of Hashem. Mi Modad B'sha'olu Mayim, V'shamayim, and the heavens, B'zares Tikeh, they were established with, as if to describe to us that we could comprehend with a small finger. So we see how minimal is our comprehension of the abilities of Hashem. V'chol b'shalish of our hearts, the earth of the land. V'shaka b'felas, and he can measure the fellas with a level, horim, mountains, ugvois, and peaks, b'moiznayim, with a scale. So the pasuk is describing, making sure that we understand well the abilities of Hashem, because Hashem has such great abilities, and we are so far for understanding his infinity that he is certainly able to redeem us. Mi sikein esruach Hashem, vish atzaso yodienu. He will make known the person and his atzas. Okay, let's stop over here for the Navi.
I have a question. I think in Pasuk Tes, he uses the term Sion, Yerushalayim, and Orei Yehuda. Why all three terms? Basically, almost three different geographic terms. Why does he use three separate terms?
That's a wonderful point that you raise. Now, if we think in our own minds of the levels of these three places, what would we say? Would we say Tzion would be the most special? Yerushalayim would be yet a little bit more distant.
So Tzion may mean the base of Mikdash?
I'm uncertain of the answer to your question, but I'm just sharing with you the thoughts that are going through my mind. And Ari Yehuda would be even yet more distant. Perhaps. Let's see if anyone comments on that. The Radak does say a comment over here. He says, Al Har Gavoa, on a high mountain, Derech Moshe, as a parable. Kimi Sherota Lashmiya Kolo, one who would like the sound of his voice to be heard. Ola B'makam Gavo, he goes to a high peak. Ola Fijir Shalayim Hu Iker Eretz Yisrael, the Chain Tzion. Just like Yerushalayim and Tzion represent the mainstays of Eretz Yisrael, Kishtei and Ir Achas, they both represent Ir Achas, a single city. Levigach Sham, Oisan, Sam Oisan B'divrei HaNevuah. Therefore, they are placed in the Nevuah. Kiyu Hei Mevasa Shai Ha'arnu. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's now learn the Mishnah Berurah portion for the day. And my Mishnah Berurah appears on page 492. Shin Ayin Ches. I'm looking at your Mishnah Berurah to see if your Mishnah Berurah has pictures. Page 492. We're discussing over here courtyards that are open to one another. So I guess in those days, homes were set up far differently than they're set up today. The closest we could come to would be, for example, a bungalow colony. Where the center of the colony would be a chotzer, or a mavoi. And then we have the batim, individual homes, that are open around it. So the first mechaber in Aleph says, Shalosh chatzeros, if we have three courtyards, tzucha zulizu, they open one to another. Now we have three of them. We could call them A, B, C, but it might be easier to use the terminology that the Mishnah Berurah uses. Now these three courtyards open into a Rishus HaRabim or into a Marvot. So let's understand that we have a Rishus HaRabim. Let's take, for example, Ocean Avenue. Now we have the Mavoi, the chotzer that opens to Ocean Avenue. That is called Chitzonos, the one that's closest to the Rishus HaRabim is called the Chitzon. The one next to it is called Nantzoi. And the one furthest from Rishus HaRabim is called the Pnim.
So they flow one to the other.
Excellent. Now the way that it works is that they flow one into the other. So let's say that somebody lives in the Chatzah HaChitzah. So he has direct access to the Rishus HaRabim. Does he belong in the Chatzah HaMtzai? No. He has no business being there. We're going to discuss that it could be he has a relationship with the people over there. And they might even make an Erev together. But let's view the difference of perspective from the people in the Chitzon and the people in the Emtzai and the Pnimi. The Pnimi fellow, he's entitled to be in the Emtzai and in the Chitzon, right? He's got to get around. He's got to get out. He's trapped inside that pnim. His access to Rishus HaRabim is going through the Emtzai and through the Chitzon. The Emtzai, his access is through the Rishus, is through the Chitzon. The Chitzon, he has no business being in either the Emtzai or the pnim. And of course, he could have whatever relationship he has with them that will find himself in the Emtzai and the pnim. But with regards to just unto itself, what are his entitlements? The Pnimi's entitlements are on the Emtzai and the Chitzon, simply access to get out. And the Emtzai's access is to the Chitzon. The Chitzon's access is to the Chitzon alone. So, Shalos Chatzeres Psucha Zulazu, they open to one another. Upsucha is a Rishus HaRabim. And we said that Chatzer Chitzon opens to Yerushalayim. Opens to Rishus HaRabim. Ve'irvar kol ha'aretz me'achitzonos in hindsight. Now what happens is, let's take for example, there's 10 people that reside in each chatzah. So the 10 people in the chatzah hachitza, min air, with the 10 people in the emtzai. But did the 10 people in the chatzah emtzai make an air within themselves? Ve'era, says the mechaber, kol hachitz nechitzanas im emtzais. The 10 people in the chatzah chitzanas, they made an air with those in the middle one. Vachitzonos lo irvu yachad, but they did not make an erev within themselves. Hachitzonos asura zuim zum. The people who reside in the chatzah chitzonos, they don't have an erev one with another. They didn't make an erev. Voyim tzoyis. But what about the middle folk? Mutaris im kolachas mehem. They did make an erev with all the chitzonos folk, so that's a good erev. Vehein mutaris ima, and it works in both directions: the middle folk with the outer folk, and the outer folk with the middle folk. B'med v'yimamor, when does this rule apply? Kishenasna entzoyis eruva bezu veruva bezu. We're going to see what that means. When the Erev is placed here, when the Erev is placed there. Oich nosna chitzaynes eruvan v'entzais. Alternatively, where the chitzonas people, that's the one in the chatzah that's closer to Rishus Harabin, they put their Erev where? V'entzais. And the middle chatzah. Bishnei bate. Aval. Let's say that two of the 10 of the chitzonos put their eruv in the emtzoyis, a bayis achas, in a single home, shlosh dem mutaris zu imzu. So by doing that, they are combining those three homes together. The two from the outer chatzah, and the one from the middle chatzah. Let's see the mechaber once more with the Mishnah Berurah. Again, so we describe, we have three courtyards that are open one to another. Says the Mishnah Berurah, if they did not open to one another, right? If we have separate chateres that have one nothing to do with another and don't open to each other, they are ineligible from contributing towards a common air between them because they're separate entities. They don't open to one another. Beis upsuchas rishus harabin. So we said we have shalosh chateres, three courtyards. Psuchas zulazu, they open one to another. Upsuchas rishus harabin. Says the Mishnah Berurah, what does it mean they opened to Rishus Harabin? Also could be that they open to a common courtyard. Similarly, this is the case that we describe. Only the outer courtyard, only one courtyard has access to Rishus Harabin or the Mafai. What about the middle courtyard? He has automatic rights to walk through Ema Pnimis along with the innermost courtyard, Hashnia Shatnim Emenu. Nami Dinahach. The din would follow as well, right? In other words, when we consider the three courtyards, the way we described. So, the chitzon, does he have walking rights on any of the other courtyards? No, he does not. The middle one, does he have walking rights? Yes, to the chitzon. The pnim also has walking rights through the emtzais as well as the chitzon. The ko'acha, sharia ima emtzais, he is permitted with the middle one. Avilu achitzona hapsucha. It's just a rabbit. Even if the outer one is opening, that's the one that has extra Rosh Hashanah. Then a pnimis yachalasa alei. He cannot permit it. The regular mutaris bim kaima, because where he has permitted footage, ema aseres shalai bim kaima, cannot prohibit in shalai bim kaima, not in his locale. Let's see, Gimel. Eruva bezu, eruva bezu. So we said again, shalosh chatzai psucha zu lezu. We have three courtyards up one to another. Upsucha zu shesarabim. And they open to Rosh Hashanah. V'ibra kalachas me'echitzonos imayim tzais. And they each contribute towards an erev with the middle one. V'echitzonos lo erev v'yach. But all those that are residing in the outer courtyard, they did not participate in an erev amongst themselves. Asura zuim zu. In that outermost courtyard, they do not have an erev one with another. They didn't make an erev one with another. Voyim tzais, however, the middle folk, muteris, im kol achas mehen. They did make an erev with the outer folk, and they are permitted, one with each other. They muteris ima. The medvar memorim, when is this rule in effect? Kishin nasna im tzais, eruva bezuv, eruva bezuv. When the middle folk, they put the erev bezuv, eruva bezuv. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah. Gimel, what does it mean, eruva bezuv, eruva bezuv? Does, because when they put the Erev in both the Emtzayis and the Chitzayis, the Ari Emtzayis b'Chitzayna, those that reside in the middle courtyard, in the outer courtyard, then the Ari Chitzayna b'Emtzayis, l'mehevi kula kichana, to be all as one. Avo, im nozno eruvim b'Emtzayis, but if they all put the Erev in the middle one, hevi ki'ilu kulam darim b'Emtzayis, it would be the equivalent as if they all resided in the middle one. Why? Because remember, the middle one, did they all contribute to the middle Erev? They did. Did the outer folk all contribute to the middle Erev? They did. Did the outer folk contribute to the outer folk Erev? They did not. So therefore, that's the reason why it's not a sufficient Erev. And now, Oy, Shenos Na'achit Sinais, Eruvan Ben Tzais. Or if the outer folk placed Erev in the middle, Bishnei Batim, in two homes. This is Dalad Mishnah Berurah Bishnei Batim, says the Mishnah Berurah, that Bilu Mol'u L'Kli Achas, even if they put the Erev in one Kli, V'Aiser, and there was still more in the Erev, V'Nos Achas L'Kli Achas, they put it into a second Kli as well. The biki hay gavna haya mahani. In this circumstance, it would help. May noisnim oisai bebayis echad. If they would put it in one home, may shikasa simin shins samachvav siftal. Avol noisnim b'shnei batim. But if they put one air in two homes, loy mishterech itzayin ezu bezil. That will not permit the outer courtyards in one another. Kivin loy mechabi adari. Since the outer folk never contributed towards an Erev amongst themselves. And let's see the last Mishnah Berurah on this Sif. Avol nos b'shtei achitzonos. Eruvan b'emtzayis. Let's say two outer folk got together and they put the Erev in a single inner folk, emtzayis, b'bayis echad, shlosh b'mutarza emzu. Then they can all combine. B'bayis echad, says the Mishnah Berurah, v'ayinu b'kli echad. We're talking where the whole air was put into a single kli, or it could be even more than one kli. But even in one kli, that would also permit all three eruvin to work together. And we'll stop over here. Thank you very much, and have a good day. So here's the answer. I prepared thus far, and this is as far as I prepared.
Thank you.
The next thing to move on to would have been the Chiddush of Daf Yomi.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay. I'm sorry that it didn't work out.
No, no, it's okay. I'm suffering on the spot.
Thank you very much. Try it.